Hey, if you're enjoying the Potty Slam podcast, you want to support us, check us out on patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcasts. Now into the ring we go. Konnichiwa, listeners. Too bad you're not a fly in the wall. But if you were, I'd swat you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate flies. So it's good
they're
not.
Gross. Fly. Like, they isn't it? They like puke or poop or whatever every time they land.
Vomit onto things.
That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son thought that was awesome.
Yeah, what? The fly? The flies do. I was going to say, you didn't let him watch the fly, did you?
No.
Ooh.
That might work. That's the 12-year goal.
Yeah, you gotta work up to it. So anyways, we're a wrestling historical podcast where we talk about the locker room and beyond. I'm joined as always with the lovely April.
Hello.
The sexy beast Josh.
How you doing?
And today we are joined by my wonderful wife and the voice of Beer City Media, Aaron.
Hello.
So Josh is up to bat this week.
The EFIS podcast, baseball history
with the playoffs coming up.
That's true. You know, I would go into that, but I've got a big one here.
Okay.
So let me ask you guys something.
Okay.
How much dedication are you as an employee to, like, what's the most you've ever done for your job? Like, going above and beyond.
I was asked if I could possibly work 14-hour day, and I did. Christmas time.
Ooh,
this was three Christmases ago.
Been a fat paycheck. I feel like I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember it.
Yeah, I think that was the year I got a bottle of wine in one of the mailboxes.
Yep.
Oh yeah, because didn't you have a real weird Christmas
the Christmas Eve was at with my dad.
That's right.
And I worked right through the Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And my dad was fine with it. My dad worked at the post office. He completely understood.
Right.
So that wasn't the issue. The issue was I just wanted to see my family. It's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when Erin came back with her folks, I was half a bottle of wine in.
Woof.
It was more like, ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't even eat dinner. I just popped the top of that thing and started drinking. So I'd say the 14-hour day was the dedication. Or, you know, I haven't called in sick since February of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I think our host of the most of conspiracy therapy might not have those numbers.
No, I don't think so.
Or it's like the coldest. He
doesn't even come in on time. When I worked with him out at his station, prostitute station, he was never on time, not even once. I would be going out to start my vehicle.
I'm shocked.
And he'd be coming in.
For all the times that he shows up completely punctually
and he's
to recordings.
The thing is, I've noticed with military people, they're either 15 minutes early or 15 minutes late.
No, see, I think that has something to do with, like, because my dad, when he got out of the Marine Corps, like, went full opposite, like, because he spent all that time being, like, buzz
rigid
haircut and you know, clean shaven, mm-hmm. that he went full like Grizzly Adams and had like long hair, mm-hmm. and a big ass like bushy beard.
My dad did the same thing. I see pictures of after he got out of the military, his hair down to his shoulders. Mm-hmm. He couldn't grow a beard. It came all patchy. So
yep.
Fair enough. What about you, April?
I guess that depends on what we're defining my job as. For like stay at home momming, I mean, I've given literally
life.
My entire being to stay home momming. So that's pretty, I don't know. I'm kind of a yes man at my other job though, which is a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. So I go above and beyond the call of duty when my boss calls me and needs me. But I'm trying to cut back on that because, I noticed a trend of her sort of trying to abuse that.
People can do that.
Yes.
Can and will.
Mm-hmm.
Josh.
Oh boy. Let's see. I think mine is much like Larry's. I remember working, this was when I was working in the food industry,
mm-hmm.
And those hours are already ridiculous. But I was the head chef of a kitchen in the morning. And I would usually show up at about 5 a.m. for that.
Okay.
That's
well, I wouldn't get there.
Thankfully, I lived there as well. So I literally would walk to work. It would take me 5 minutes to walk.
Oh, nice.
So I this one day, it was one particular day. I think it was a Thursday because my PM chef asked me a favor. He said, hey, man, can you pull a double? Work my shift tonight and I will do your shift tomorrow. And thus giving me a 3-day weekend.
I don't know what the overtime rules are, but I have made a little extra bank that day as well.
It worked out well. Mm-hmm.
You could do for a
no.
I was already making stupid good money at this job. But I would have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and I was like, man, so I could go back home. I was about a 3.5-hour drive away. And so I was like, I can come home and do stuff with friends and stuff. But that particular day was a bad day for food service because I can't remember what I think it was for breakfast. We were doing French toast.
Okay.
As one of the main things that you could eat. Now, mind you, the breakfast service, we would serve about 800 people buffet.
Wow.
And we made that French toast from scratch.
Oh, man.
So
it's time consuming.
I would show up that day at 4 a.m. Lunchtime was grilled cheese.
Oh, those are the worst.
And I had to make that from scratch.
Did you use two sheet pans?
I totally cheated and found other ways of.
Oh, yeah.
Cheating. Torch.
Yep. Pretty much, honestly.
But, you know, that's the thing is no one person eats a one grilled cheese. So, you know, I had to make like 1,400 grilled cheese.
That's about what you'd need to make me for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love 1,400 grilled cheese.
I know.
But then I did dinner service. I can't remember what that was. It doesn't matter. The fact is, though, I did not leave that day until it was like 9:30 at night because dinner time was around 6.
Okay. Do you get a break? Do you get
to eat? I would be given about 10 minutes to eat. And I periodically, I had a really good sous chef.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was like, dude, I'm going to go burn one.
Yeah.
He didn't care.
Okay.
So
handle it.
Yeah, basically. And then everybody knew that day. They're like, all right, yeah, don't fuck around. And mind you, this is summer.
Mm-hmm.
We're standing in a kitchen on a line with a grill, fryer, and all that. It's, you know, it's like 130 degrees.
Yeah. I worked for a bit at a plastics molding place.
Oof.
And it's that tape of heat just, I mean, it takes it out.
It kills you. Yeah. So, I mean, that day it was something, not to one up, but it was like 17 hours.
No, that's I would see mine was voluntary as
right
as was yours. So
it's self-inflicted.
Yeah.
So how about you, Aaron? Have you ever gone above and beyond?
I can't beat that.
I think teaching in general is going above and beyond every day because you're doing all that prep work without pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to teach Spanish. I used to sit all day on my Sunday to sit and do lesson plans.
Oh, yep. Grade papers and
day. I never had a Sunday, you know.
Ugh. Well, and teachers especially spend a lot out of pocket to, you know, furnish their classrooms
supplies.
And provide materials and supplies.
That way with us. I remember ordering, we were buying textbooks from like other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were cheap. It was a good deal, but I still bought them.
Yeah.
Mm. God bless teachers.
Yeah.
And truck drivers.
And truck drivers. We love truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They bring a lot of truck driver listeners.
Yeah.
You know what else we love? Professional wrestling.
We do.
That's why we do the show.
We should do a podcast on professional wrestling.
I think that would be a great idea 15 minutes later.
That's fine. Right.
Okay. No, that's fine. Because our character today, it really does go the distance. He really, over his 23-year tenure in the WWE, has gone above and beyond and wanted to go further beyond. Today, we're talking about Dustin Reynolds, aka Goldust, aka Yeah, yeah. Okay. Of course, we all know who Goldust is. Mm-hmm. And when he began his wrestling career in 1988, of course, he was known as Dustin Rhodes, being, of course, the son of Dusty Rhodes.
No gimmick needed.
No. Yeah, right. No kidding.
Well, no gimmick needed, but wanted. Of course.
Fair enough.
He, a lot of people felt like he was riding in the coattails. Like, oh, you're one of the greatest of all time. You're his son, so you're going to have everything handed to you. Mm-hmm. And so he felt a little bit of resentment in that. Mm-hmm. Now, he did his tenure in WCW. Then in March of 95, he was fired for blading and was told not to be, you could not, don't blade in this match. He did it and he was fired.
Fired from WCW?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, around that time,
I never knew that.
He was talking to Vince about coming to the WWF. At that time, he kind of came in and there was this idea that Vince McMahon had, in which he wanted to take this character and have him be different, be eccentric, like just totally different. And Dustin was okay with this because of the fact that at that time, his relationship with his dad was not great at all. It was really bad. In fact, he wanted to have no association with the Rhodes name, hence Dustin Reynolds.
I wonder if it is very difficult for wrestlers to have any sort of relationship with their kids. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that the CEO of the company type thing, right, where you're gone all the time.
Sure.
I think maybe in the era that we're in now, it's slightly better just because of things like FaceTime and cell phones
and knowledge of like some of these wrestlers growing up that way don't want to do that to their own kids. So they kind of.
Exactly.
Well, and especially when you think about what Dusty went through in his career, in the 80s and whatnot. Yeah. It was a very different time.
Very. Like, it was territorial. So he was in this place for a month. And then this place, it's.
Well, and the drug use, the drinking, everything. And of
course,
was
accepted. Like, you had to, it was almost like a requirement to drink. Right. You hear these stories of them drinking as they're driving.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. And of course, we know, and I'm not going to go into it, but we know that Dustin was.
He had his issues too. Yeah.
So when he came to the WWE, Vince's idea was that he wanted to cover him. He wanted him originally. It was a suit. Mm-hmm. And he was going to be a, quote, eccentric movie buff director called Dope Goldust.
That just
would, of course, come to the WWF to create and star in his masterpiece.
What an interest. Like, who came up with that?
Yeah.
It's like they threw things at a dartboard.
Right. I mean, and that's...
It worked.
Obviously, yeah, it worked. Now, this is a quote from Bruce Pritchard. Quote, Vince McMahon said, quote, I don't want to see Dustin. What if you were completely covered in a bodysuit and you painted your whole head, not just face, but your whole head gold? That's gold dust. And you'd wear gloves and your entire body would be covered.
Oh, that would sweat so much.
Oh, no kidding.
Of course, there was one problem with all of this and all these talks. There was a word that Vince used, and that was androgynous. Mm-hmm. Now, problem is Dustin Rhodes, we're going to say, had no idea what that word meant.
I'm not clear on it either.
Of course, androgynous, it means neither male or female. You could be either by the way your look is.
You'd be a face today.
And in the case of the WWE and professional wrestling, it would give a psychological advantage. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, well, at that time, Dustin Rhodes isn't the slim, fit guy that he is now. He was a 260-pound Texas redneck.
He took after his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a big boy. And during the meeting, it's thought that maybe he was he didn't really care. He would just want it in because he's like, I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, he would actually look up the word androgynous in the dictionary. It was like, oh, shit. So, and believe me, this is going somewhere. This is going to go somewhere. Now, we all know that from there, Dustin really took this gimmick and ran with it. Mm-hmm. He went balls to the wall, in fact, and was very controversial. Of course, many people would look at his antics and they would get very upset because of the gay, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, people were afraid of gays. They were
the homophobia, phobia that was going around back then.
Yeah, in the mid 90s there, homophobia was rampant. And unfortunately, I think it's a little bit, it's better now, but it's
still... I think each generation kind of grows up with more acceptance.
Right. But Goldust was on fire at that time. Everybody was talking about him, not just the fans, but also mainstream media. He became so popular that he was doing late night gigs with like Conan O'Brien and whatnot. He was all over the place.
He did a couple interviews with Howard Stern in character, which are hilarious.
Oh, I bet.
Now, there was a match that was built up around him and The Undertaker. It was going to be a casket match. And Bruce Pritchard had the idea of a joke being played on Taker to see if he would break character, all while Goldust pulling shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And that would be that, quote, I might have played a little joke on The Undertaker in this instance, not on TV, to see if Undertaker would break. He no-sold when Goldust grabbed Taker's crotch and then proceeded to kick the shit out of him. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, though, after this, there were a lot of complaints, and thus Goldust was told that he needed to tone down his character.
Okay. In the Attitude Era.
Yes. Enter the artist formerly known as Goldust. Now, those of us who are a little bit older might know that, of course, this is around the time that Prince, the musician Prince, was having issues with his record label and decided to go by the name. It was this. It was a symbol, but people called him the artist formerly known as Prince. Goldust, of course, took to that because it's the WWE and they steal ideas.
Well, and Prince is kind of in that...
Sure.
Androgynous way.
Now, the problem with this, though, was that the allure, where was it? He was going to lose it. He wasn't doing the crazy things. And, you know, you're starting to have new, younger talent coming in. And so the idea was that to make the... Not the way he looked so much, or not the actions, but more the look seem crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Russo actually recalls some of the ideas that they had for Goldust at the time. Quote, and I have a lot of quotes here, so bear with me. When we were desperately trying to come up with a new identity for Goldust, Vince McMahon came up with the idea of dressing up Dustin in a full body stocking and let him prance around as the naked guy.
That sounds like such a Vince idea, too.
Glad it didn't work.
Yep.
Now, of course, they're trying to make him interesting. That's when he teamed up with Luna
Vachon
and became the artist formerly known as Goldust, and which they would come out in bondage gear and other bizarre outfits each week. In Dustin's autobiography, he writes, quote, I had an idea that would get Goldust back into the ring. Vince, I want to do something different with this character. I had a person in mind to help Goldust become a crazy, bizarre type of bondage character. I had this picture of being led around on a dog leash with a collar and a ball gag in my mouth. Luna was the perfect fit for the role. Mm-hmm. Luna gave me the go-ahead and it turned out to be awesome. Now, from there, he would come out in different types of outfits. There was the Marilyn Manson influenced Marilyn Dust, the Sable Dust, a baby in a diaper, and even 1 week did a pretty good impression of his father, Dusty Rhodes.
If you will.
But again, he was still losing a lot of his allure and people. And he, this, when you're a professional wrestler and this is your livelihood,
it's not good.
It's not good.
Scary thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a family, you're married. That's not a good thing. So he wanted to capture the controversy of the 96-97, you know, Gold Dust. And so he wrote to Vince McMahon, or Vince Russo writes in his autobiography, moments before we were about to pronounce the character dead, I get a call from Dustin. Vince, I've got an idea, Goldust says. Tell Vince if he pays me $1 million, I will get implants. What? And he says, a penile implant? And Dustin responds, no, breasts.
I had heard this rumor before. Now I know that it's actually true.
Let me break that down for you. Dustin Rhodes was considering getting breast implants for the wrestling business. Mind you, I'm sure Dustin was reacting out of panic. I'm sure if he'd read through this through or thought this through, a man walking around with women's breasts and all, he would have come to his senses. And yes, McMahon did contemplate it.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. Okay.
But that's what the business does to you. It makes men go nuts. It's the most carny thing ever.
What if?
Yeah, right. JR would talk about it in his book, JR's Cookbook, True Ringside Tale, Barbecue and Down Home Recipes.
Glaze the turkey for 15 minutes. By the way, Gold Dust almost got tits. Rotate the turkey 90 degrees and then baste for 15 minutes.
My God. Quote.
What a book.
I was sitting in a small makeshift office dressing room in Madison Square Garden a few hours prior to a televised event a few years ago, preparing for the night show, when I heard a knock on my door and yelled, it's open. In walks the 6'5", 260-pound Gold Dust, who of course was born Dustin Reynolds, son of the famous Dusty Rhodes. Dustin had been portraying the gold-clad controversial character Goldust for quite some time, and the creative energy for the character was beginning to seemingly run its course. The creative staff was finding themselves scratching their heads, attempting to find fresh ideas for the Texas-born athlete. The hot creative ideas were slowing for the Goldust character, and we all had been brainstorming for new ideas. Dustin comes into the small room at MSG, takes a seat, and proceeds to tell me that he has this idea that will put him back on the map. With a film crew present, he wants to go under the knife and have a breast implant procedure, essentially making him the first she-male character in sports entertainment history. His vision was that it would be so weird and bizarre that our fans, and new fans for that matter, would pay good money to watch him wrestle. He suggested that he would be huge on the talk show circuit, and people all over the world would be clamoring to see the bizarre one in person, especially in prison and perhaps Amsterdam.
I'm curious if he, like, what size?
Oh, I'll get into it.
Of course.
Wow. They went that
naturally.
Far with it.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked at what I was hearing. Here I am, this Oklahoma farm boy, sitting in New York City's Madison Square Garden, having one of the most unique conversations of my life with a large man with a bleach blonde buzz cut who wants to get a bona fide boob job.
Also, check out my recipe for corn nuts.
That'd be a good episode title for this, bona fide boob job.
Yep.
I said,
there we go.
Dustin, what about when you're not at work? I mean, those new boobs don't snap on and off. They are permanent until you have another surgery to have them removed. What do you do with them when you take your daughter to school? What happens to your new additions when you attend a PTA meeting? You would pretty much eliminate the family outings to the beach if you do this, wouldn't you think?
It'd be embarrassing when you have to tell your wife you almost walked out of the house without a bra on.
Yeah, right?
He indicated it would be worth the sacrifice because the character would be the hottest new thing in the world and money would be rolling in for everyone. I said he really needed to speak to Vince McMahon, the chairman of WWE, on this one, as I did not feel comfortable approving the elective surgery for my talent relations budget.
I don't see how this works in the long run.
I feel like, isn't there an easier way to do that? Like, isn't there?
He's wearing a bodysuit, right?
Right. I don't
just sew something into it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, drag queens have the bras that are like pre-filled out, as I mime at my own chest. I don't understand why he couldn't have like a something like that. Like, why go that?
I think he wanted, like he said, he wanted the crew
right
in with the surgery, but you could fake a surgery,
right?
Oh yeah, they fake
take
it.
Some stock footage of something,
right?
It could be a knee. It would be the inside of a knee. I wouldn't know any better.
No, jeez,
they killed Vince McMahon on TV.
Yeah,
they can give Goldust boobs,
right?
Bruce Pritchard would talk about it on his podcast. Quote: Dustin had really worked himself up to making this big pitch, and he had pitched everybody around Vince McMahon except Vince McMahon. So Vince knew what Goldust was going to pinch his nipples. I don't know. He'd already heard it from me. He'd heard it from Russo. He'd heard it from JR. There was no way in hell that Vince McMahon was going to allow him to do this.
Well,
and he didn't want to do it. He had
this is the man that approved Katie Vick.
Right.
That's true.
This is a man who had his daughter talk him out of doing they were going to do have to cover this one sometime, but they wanted to do a mother, it would be like father daughter.
Oh, incest?
They wanted to do an incest angle. Vince did. And Stephanie had to talk him out of it.
That's kind of fucked up.
I'm gonna,
that's
sometime.
A future episode.
He goes on. We had jumped the shark so many times on this gimmick, and this was too much. Wasn't gonna happen. Chalk it up to not happening in our lifetime. Dustin felt like this was the only thing that he could do to revive his career. He had to do it. He was willing to do it. Let me get breast implants. Let me get double D's.
Double D's.
And stuff. JR and his cookbook would continue. After the
garnish with lettuce. By the way, double D breasts.
I took Dustin to Vince's customary office, which he always has at MSG events, and said, Vince, Dustin has an idea. He wants to pitch you to about his Goldust character. Great, said the boss as he sat down to listen to what I'm sure he was hoping would be the idea to get the Bizarre One's career back on track again.
Preheat oven at 350.
Dustin began to describe the concept with all the convictions of an over-caffeinated Jimmy Swaggart on a Sunday morning.
Some reference no under the age of 40 will get.
Right? Vince had an astonished look on his face as he told me later he thought he was being ribbed. It was no rib, and after Dustin...
No, they're breasts.
Speaking of breasts, here's a recipe for chicken breasts.
Stuffed chicken breasts.
Vince explained that he appreciated Dustin's attempting to come up with new concepts for the character and continued to brainstorm on them. But Vince did not think this particular creative idea was the direction we wanted to travel. Later, I asked Goldust's then-wife, Terry, if she knew about his concept, and she answered with rolling her eyes and nodding her head. That pretty well covered it.
Well, yeah, you don't want your husband to have bigger breasts than you.
Right? Right.
Of course, Vince was able to talk him out of this idea, and, well, he's still active, so.
Yep.
Now, that wasn't the last that we ever heard of it, though. Because, Larry...
Yes.
Do you remember the Vince McMahon and Trish Stratus?
Oh, that was... try to erase that from my memory. But yeah, I remember that awful train wreck of a...
Well, I've got a clip this is a few years later, and this would actually, the whole idea would come up once again.
Okay.
It was a rather embarrassing moment for our commissioner with Doink the Clown, but speaking of embarrassing, look, there's a, you know that is, that's Dustin Rhodes, okay? That, mm-hmm. that was gold dust. Now, do you know what gold dust wanted to do one time? Believe it or not.
What?
He wanted to have these great big implants, breast implants, put on his chest. Can you imagine the absurdity of someone who would want to have these voluptuous, succulent, tender breasts?
Where's my cookbook?
Yeah, the we all want to forget those Trish backstage.
Those were
segments.
I cannot like
I they're
those
bad.
Some of the worst things I've ever seen.
God,
how
the bra and panties matches.
Oh yeah,
that's bark like a dog,
dude. It's so bad. Anybody who didn't watch wrestling at that point, be thankful you didn't have to see it. I'm sure there's some guys that are going to be like, oh, those were the best wrestling. I brought panty matches.
The Attitude Era never missed.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but thankfully he didn't do that because it gave us the gold dust with a Tourette's. Remember, he got Tourette's by electrocuting himself.
He did a lot of things from there, and some of them were not great.
That was funny. Probably offensive people with Tourette's, but.
Sure. WWE didn't care. But nope. I'm surprised. I admit to a degree, I'm surprised that they did not let him carry out with that idea.
I think they would have if it wasn't surgical. Like if he was like, hey, I want to wear fake boobies, they would have been like, no, oh, okay.
He must have said, no, they have to be real. They have to be real.
Yeah.
Why? Was he going to pose in Playboy or something?
I don't know. Like what would
I
you
wouldn't put it past him.
Hypothetically speaking, what would you guys do if you woke up and had a pair of breasts?
Oh, jumping jacks.
I hear that. I think that would hurt though.
I don't know. I'd find out quickly, wouldn't I?
All right. Give yourself a black eye real fast.
I don't know.
Do you already need a bra?
I'd hide money.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I mean, I don't know. What would you do if you woke up with a penis?
Helicopter.
Yeah, probably, honestly. I like sounds weird, but like put it in stuff.
Oh, here's a pudding cup.
Well, because I like that's the thing about because it's such an I can't even imagine the sensation of it going into something because I'm so accustomed to the sensation of something coming in.
I'd say vice versa that,
like,
as well.
I would be like, whoa, I'm gonna put it in this and I'm gonna put it in this loaf of bread and I'm gonna put it in this cottage cheese and just like
that's a new one.
I would just want to
and nobody could ever would ever know.
No
this cottage cheese,
there's a hole in the cottage cheese. What's going on?
I'm a little salty today.
Oh man,
yep,
that is something else, I'll tell you that.
Sure
I've never, I mean, I'd heard the rumors of that, but find out it's true.
Yeah.
That's
confirmed in a cookbook of all things.
Yeah.
Missing something?
Kaz.
Yes.
I'm regretting. Last week.
It was last week. You're saying how he got back on track, which everybody thought, but now he
not.
Was threatened to murder somebody?
Yeah, there was a whole like he was going around backstage yelling about his sweatshirt or a
somebody
sweater
stole
or
something.
Yeah, someone stole a sweatshirt and he was threatening to kill everyone.
Guy,
and yeah,
spitting the guy who they were throwing the event for spit in his face.
Yep,
and then got knocked out.
Yeah,
I mean, I wonder what was on the sweatshirt.
I'm guessing the size was XXL.
I mean, because you get a good sweatshirt. Yeah.
I know, a good hoodie.
Yeah.
You've worked in.
Yeah. After you've had it for a couple months and like,
but
I'd get pissed too.
Man, that's.
I know. You feel bad for the guy. I mean, credit goes to Enzo for being sort of his voice through all of this. I mean, just all the posts that, right, I know. But all the posts that he's done, you know, he's forwarded stuff through Enzo's, like, Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just, feel bad for the guy. I mean, obviously he's going through some tough shit.
Right. But you still can't be threatening to kill people.
Well, no.
I think that he really does need to just walk away.
Something we don't know.
Walk away from wrestling for like a year or two. Get just straight mental health.
To me, I'm thinking there's got to be some sort of drug use going on or something.
Who knows?
You don't just threaten to kill people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and remember, that's why.
I mean, I've been depressed. The only thing I threaten to kill is a pint of ice cream.
Yeah. Well, because
dude, we have 2 gallons of ice cream in our freezer right now.
I don't know what to do with it.
With the ice cream? Oh, because you guys aren't eating that anymore.
No, take one home. A whole gallon of vanilla ice cream.
Aaron will do that.
Yeah. Well, because we were going to have it at Asher's birthday party, and then we didn't give anyone ice cream. So,
watered on myself. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Kaz, gosh, it's bigger than wrestling. Mm-hmm. Really, Leary?
It's double XL bigger than wrestling.
By the way, speaking of double XL, Taco Bell has done away with the grilled stuffed burrito.
All right.
It's my favorite thing on the menu.
It was the best thing.
We could order one, split it in half, and we were good to go.
Bullshit.
I said we could. I didn't say we did.
Right.
I just regretted my decision afterwards.
Oh, man. That is sad. Yeah. I feel like, why is it that Taco Bell always gets rid of the good stuff? Like the Mexican pizza they keep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
It blows. Garbage. Who's ordering that?
The Cool Ranch Dorito taco or the fire. I like the fiery one.
Fire
too.
One's that's good gone. Too.
Bullshit. No. Taco Bell, get your shit together.
No kidding.
Like who's ordering like the pintos and cheese? Right. Take that off the menu. Yeah, give me my beefy Frito burrito. Okay.
Oh, that's the best thing ever.
I mean, don't take away the folded stuff I like.
Exactly.
Unless the Frito burrito has Fritos, it's like one
I
thing
like
that's
that.
Different.
I do like that thing. That is good,
especially the
like
spicy
buck,
one.
I think.
Yeah,
they don't have the spicy one anymore. I guess
no.
They bring it back, and everyone's like, "Yes," and that's the only thing I order from there.
I'm fine,
and then it goes away again. I'm like, what the hell are you thinking?
As long as they don't get rid of the cheesy gordita crunch, because that's my go-to.
That's hers too. Yeah,
that's the only thing I ever get.
It's the number 10 soft shell tacos,
I like
regular Mountain Dew, light ice.
I like the quesaritos.
Ooh, those are good too.
They have that Baja flavor, don't they?
Yeah, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that's the only place you can get it, I think.
Yeah.
That is good. I know.
The Baja Blast Mountain Dew tastes like it was made to have liquor in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Rum.
Yeah.
Or codeine.
Tequila. Yeah.
Codeine.
Yeah, some lean.
Yep.
Have you ever?
We're all talking this light stuff. And here's
Baja
this guy.
And lean.
A taco and some lean. Oh, boy.
Jeez.
Hey, rest in peace, Taco Bell. Okay, bye.
Presentation of Beer City Media.